Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 260 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with... Gray! How are you doing?
Hello. It's been a while, but I am back.
Yes. It's lovely to have you back on again. What have you been doing? It has been a while. You're right.
It has been a while. Yeah, so obviously been working. I had a bit of a week off last week.
Good.
I decided to go camping, basically. Get away from the inside of my flat and go camping. And one thing I downloaded while I was away, because I'd heard a couple of people talking about it, is the mockumentary on BBC called The Kemps All True.
Right. Yes.
And if someone had walked past my tent when I was watching it, they would just heard me properly laughing out loud. I think it's perfectly pitched at what it needs to be. So those people don't know, the Kemps are the brothers from Spandau Ballet, Gary and Martin. And they're basically, it's pitched as a documentary, but clearly it's not. It's a complete parody of themselves. And some of the jokes are just really out there funny for you to laugh along with, but the way Gary and Martin deliver it is so serious, so deadpan. Anybody just wants cheering up. Sometimes the news is so depressing at the moment, but go and watch that. I haven't actually watched the Bros one, which a lot of people are referring to when they discuss it as a comparison.
Yes, the Bros one wasn't a mockumentary.
That's what people keep saying. They're like, you now need to go and watch Bros and realize that wasn't a mockumentary.
Yes.
But apparently the Kemp documentary was already in planning before the Bros one got released. So it wasn't a case of they've seen this and they're mimicking it. It was just a different approach on the music documentary.
Yeah.
So that's what I watched when I was away. So I've had a real screen-free week. Very, very little has been consumed, even in the sense of podcasts. I've really been shutting myself off because such an overload during this time of being in front of a screen and media.
Yeah.
But before I went away, I finished a few series and some of them we will never see again. So I finished Emergence just before I went away, and it sort of did really pick up its pace towards the end, and
it
I was
did.
Enjoying it. And
yeah.
I was like, now they've set it up for a second season, but obviously we all knew there was never going to be a second season. And I actually kind of liked it. If they hadn't had that final scene, no spoilers here, then it would have been a perfect end, wouldn't it? It sort of resolved itself.
Yeah.
They had an end sequence. And you're like, oh, how frustrating, that we're never going to see that. But anyway, I finished that. I also finished I May Destroy You on BBC iPlayer.
I haven't watched this at all yet, but I know a lot of people are saying it's very good.
It's a game changer for narratives on television, in my mind. I mean, if I was still a teacher teaching it, I would be encouraging my students to watch it and understand the idea of storytelling and how someone can take it in a different way. Right. I read an accompanying article about Michaela Cole, the creator, and I think it was 117 drafts of that script to get where it was. She turned down $1 million deal from Netflix because she refused to give them her copyright. But she's an amazing person. I've always loved everything she's been in or done. I am a huge fan of. And this, the last episode did destroy me in terms of what she did with it hasn't really been done narratively, that was so powerful. And so, yes, if you must focus when you're watching it. It's not something you can watch while cooking your dinner or texting your friend or playing an app. You've got to really take it in. So I would wholly recommend that. And I actually think it would be one of the very few things I don't do very often that I'd go back and watch again, because to take in all those little bits that she puts in there, a lot of Easter eggs and things like that, is really good.
Yeah, that's one I need to go and watch, I think.
Gray absolutely recommends. I finished Harley Quinn, the animated.
Yeah, I loved that series.
I really loved it. And for me, I think I know a lot about the DC universe, but actually it gives me a nice humorous comical insight to another angle of the universe. And I really like it. And the creators of this are almost doing better than the DC live action world at the moment. Well, I like it.
Yeah, it is a much better take actually on Harley, and much closer to the comic book version. I think there are elements in both of them that sort of work, but I really like this version of Harley. I like the fact that it's kind of gone, not X-rated, but certainly R-rated. I mean, you know, they're not afraid to use the language. You can get away with a lot more because it's animated as well. It's really, really fun. And the second season seems to have gone down incredibly well as well, which we haven't had yet.
I hope they bring it. I know Channel 4 have really slowed down the release of a lot of their stuff to give them autumn programming. Well, I've noted a lot's gone missing.
We hope it's that, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been dropped entirely for its final season. We still haven't had dates for the second season of Charmed. We still haven't had dates for the 100's final season. So I don't know whether it's they're delaying stuff for autumn programming on E4. I don't know whether it's just a case of financially they can't do it right now.
Yeah, but I mean, Goldberg's has gone missing, the final section of that. Blackish hasn't come back yet. Duncanville played 5 episodes and then dropped, and I saw they tweeted saying it's coming back later on in the year. I just kind of think like they're doing something, either finances or their scheduling is trying to stretch out what they're going to bring. But yeah, Harley Quinn, while it was there, I sort of binged that, and that was really good.
Yeah,
What We Do in the Shadows season 2, I finished that. Again, so funny. I actually watched a lot of it while building a piece of furniture, and like the distraction, because some of the funny pieces in it was just, I hope my furniture stands the test of time. And then Little Fires Everywhere, if anybody has seen the Amazon program there, Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington. The highlight for me is they do an episode, and this isn't a spoiler, they do an episode which goes back in time to when the both actresses were younger. The actresses they had play Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington are just phenomenal at playing Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington. I couldn't get over it. I thought at first it might be like some CGI stuff, but then I looked on IMDb and these two actresses that play the younger versions of the two characters, I don't know if they studied them, spent weeks with them, but they were, it was really good. It's a really good drama. A lot of my friends around me said they've read the book, and actually the drama does it justice. But yeah, it's got a lot of comments on class, on race, on gender, on the whole like relationships between parents and children and sexuality. There's so much in there, really good. But it is 8 1-hour episodes on Amazon, so if you're going to go in for that, it's a real long haul. But I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
just on my watch list, things I've decided to get back into, as we know, summer is generally a little bit quiet for new things coming in, so it's probably my time to start digging out some of my old list and start trying to watch those. So I saw they released series 1 of FBI in advance of series 2, so I've put the rest of series 1 on my watch list, which I didn't finish when I lost Sky last year. And I'm up to season 2 of The Sinner, so I wanted to watch season 3, so I've been through season 1. I know they're anthologies, but I wanted to get a grip to like the story, so I'm at episode 2 or 3 of season 2 to get myself to season 3. So that's on my watch list. And also my guilty pleasure, I didn't put it on my list notes, Dave, but High School Musical, the musical series.
Matt's been watching that as well. The High School Musical is the thing that completely bypassed me. I was too old for it when it came out, so I'm aware of some of the music and stuff because it's out there. But
I didn't think I'd watch it, but I'm there trying to justify it, going, it's like a Modern Family type show where you get a bit of the action and the comedy, and then it cuts to the character having a conversation to the camera.
Right.
So it got that style, which I kind of like. Yeah, it's a bit cheesy, but you know what, I'm loving it. Got about three episodes left. And obviously, as the film, the big film that I sort of sat down for this month was Hamilton, released a few weeks back. I had not seen it. I had not had the fortunate chance to go and see it in the theatre. So watching it on TV was my first go. And oh my word, I spent 10 days just playing the track on cycle.
Yes.
But no, absolutely phenomenal, really stunning. I was glued to the TV that whole evening. I really loved it. I'm singing the songs, and I just think it was a fantastic idea for Disney to bring it to Disney Plus to allow us all to experience it. And even though I've seen it, I still think I now still want to see it on stage. It's not removed that for me. No. It's not like, oh, now I've seen it, I don't need to see it. I actually want to go and see it more now, and I think that's a real good thing. So yeah, Hamilton.
I'm very much with you on that. I loved the music from the first moment I heard it. I haven't managed to get to see it yet either, but I loved seeing it, that version of it, because it's the original cast. And Jonathan Goff is just phenomenal in that as the king. And I mean, the entire cast is amazing. One of the things, I think I said this last time when I was talking about it before, if you watch Bull, the guy that plays Washington in it is the guy that plays Chunk in Bull. And you're like, I didn't know that. And it's one of those things where he first walks out on stage, you go, hang on, is that? Wait a minute.
No, it's just, I mean, I think it's brilliant. And that sort of, that was a brilliant start to the month to watch Hamilton. I mean, I did follow up by watching Frozen 2 as well, but we won't talk about that right now. That's obviously, you know, that's by the by. So that is me. That's what I've been doing, or sort of running, you know, sort of really going ahead to summer with not much to watch. What have you been doing in the last week, Dave?
Well, I'm in the same sort of boat. You know, things are sort of slowing down. So I have got a few things which I'm watching, you know, week to week, but I've tried to pick one show. And, you know, things that I watched one episode of previously and thought, oh, I'll go back and watch that, and then haven't got back to it. So I tried to pick one show to focus on. So I've been watching Warrior Nun, which I'd watched a couple of episodes of, and then I'd gone on to kind of try and watch some other things, and I went back to. This is the Netflix series. It's an adaptation of a comic book, although it wildly differs from the comic book. It's from Simon Barry, who is the person that made things like Continuum. And there was a ghost show which I think ran for one season on Netflix as well. I can't remember what that was called, but I really like this series. It's centered around this girl who, at the start of the show, she's laid up in bed, she's unable to move, she's been paralyzed, she's been in a car accident at a young age, she dies, and she's part of this convent. And while she is in the morgue, this fight breaks out between a group of these warrior nuns and these demons, and there is a thing which is a sort of halo that they're trying to hide from the demons, and they shove it into her body to try and hide it, and it brings her back to life. That's the sort of basic setup,
as you do.
and gives her a certain amount of powers. So she now finds herself thrust into this world which she doesn't really want any part of. She's wonderfully played. She's incredibly snarky. There is something rather Buffy-esque about her as a character, in that, you know, she's quite young. She's sort of 17, 18. She doesn't really want to be involved in any of this. She's kind of had it all thrust upon her. And the first season is quite a lot about that, about the fact that she's kind of been suddenly given this destiny, which she doesn't really want to have anything to do with. You know, she spent her entire life basically in a bed, and now finds she can walk and do things. So she wants to go out and live life, and she's been told, no, you have this destiny. It's really, really well written. It's funny. There's some good action sequences in it. It's 10 episodes long and does end up on quite a cliffhanger. So I'm going to be very disappointed if they don't bring that back for a second season, because it's quite a brave thing to do for a Netflix show, is to end it on a major cliffhanger. I'm really, really hopeful that they bring that back, but I would urge you to go and watch it, particularly if you're a fan of those kind of Buffy-esque sort of shows. It's very well written. The humor's really good. There is obviously stuff to do with kind of demons and angels and that sort of thing, although they do twist that to a certain extent to add some scientific stuff in there as well. So it becomes a little bit sci-fi as well as being a bit supernatural, which I rather like. I think that's an interesting way of doing it. But that's worrying. And so the whole season one is on Netflix right now. And I really do hope they bring that back for another season.
I've read a lot about it. And it's also Cursed coming out like a week later as well. They're, yes. They're two programs I've become really interested in. But obviously with my week holiday, I haven't really got around to turning Netflix on yet. So it's definitely on my list of things to watch.
Cursed, I think, is probably the next thing I'm going to be working my way through, because I watched the first episode of that, quite enjoyed it. So that will be the next one, I think, will be the show that I work my way through. Quibi released a trailer for The Fugitive. I don't know whether you saw this, but Quibi, you may or may not know, is this new streaming service, which the unique sort of thing about it is it's designed primarily to work on mobile, and all the episodes are sort of 10 minutes long. So it's quick bites is what they're referring to it as. They've got some great shows on there. They are essentially, I mean, I say shows in kind of air quotes, because they tend to be 10 episodes long, and they're kind of 10 minutes each. So it's about the length of a feature movie rather than a series, just chopped up into bits. But there have been some great things on there. They've got a version of The Fugitive coming out. It stars Kiefer Sutherland and Boyd Holbrook, who Boyd Holbrook you might know from Narcos, was probably the biggest thing he's been in. It's premiering in August. I'm really interested and excited to watch this, because I really like The Fugitive. It's Kiefer Sutherland back doing his kind of FBI thing. It's actually one of the guys behind it is one of the guys behind 24 as well. So it's very much him back in a kind of 24 type groove, which I rather like. And I think it could work really well. Trailer looks good. I will be watching that. The only issue I have with Quibi is the price, because it's something like $7.99 a month. And that's prohibitively expensive for the service that it is. There is some great stuff on there, but it needs to be much cheaper than that, I think. But you can get it if you want to get it, and you can put it on for a month and turn it off if you want to kind of go and binge through a few things. As I said, they are relatively short, because they are 10 episodes, 10 minutes long. So you can probably binge through everything quite easily that you would want to watch in a month without any problem at all, and just turn it back off again. So it might be worth paying the sort of $7.99 to do that. The other thing I wanted to mention was Hannah, which I finished last week and we talked about last week. I've got two interviews coming up this week. I've actually done already, but will go out this week. One is the editor for it, one of the main editors for it, which is Morten Hoybier, and Ollie Downey, who is a British cinematographer, and he worked on, I think, 5 episodes. They're heavily involved in Hannah. If you like that show, those are going to be really interesting interviews to watch. So that, keep an eye out for those. They'll pop up in the feed, or go to the website. You'll be able to find those later in the week. The other big thing, of course, that's taking up my time this week is Comic-Con at Home. That was a whole multitude of panels. This is the big San Diego Comic-Con, which, of course, couldn't take place in person because of the pandemic. So they recorded a whole load of panels and put them online. I don't know whether you've managed to, if you've been on holiday, you probably haven't, whether you've managed to see any panels from this.
I have been so deprived of screens. It's not because the signal was also so bad. I'm just trying to get used to use a computer again. So I haven't, I'm afraid. No, I haven't seen any, but I know there's lots of links that are coming up on Geektown, so I'll probably access a few of those.
Yes, there are a lot of links up on Geektown for those. Amazon did a huge panel with a whole bunch of their shows. So there was Truth Seekers, which is the new Simon Pegg Nick Frost show. There's a trailer up on that, and there was a panel for that. There was a really interesting panel on Utopia, which is the Amazon remake of the somewhat beloved Channel 4 series that was cut down very much too early. There is a panel for that as well. They did a panel for Upload, the brilliant comedy. And they did a panel for The Boys as well, and they put some clips and stuff, and that was them talking about season one and stuff that's coming in season two. So there was all those. There was a huge bunch of Walking Dead stuff, and we'll get into that in a minute, but a whole load of Walking Dead panels. There was a panel for Hellstrom, which is a new Marvel series which hasn't got a UK date yet, but that's coming to Hulu in the US. There was a panel for All Mankind, which is a brilliant Apple TV Plus series, and they showed a trailer for the second season of that. So some of my favorite panels, there was an evening with Kevin Smith, which was just Kevin Smith talking for an hour. And I could listen to that man talk all day. I find him fascinating. He can talk for England. He's just brilliant, brilliant guy. So I really enjoyed watching that. And there was a conversation with Nathan Fillion, which was basically Nathan Fillion and a whole bunch of people that he worked in the past, from people from Firefly, people on The Rookie, people from Castle, and him just chatting about, you know, experiences and, you know, where he's at and where the other people are at and stuff that they did together. So that's another panel called Conversation with Nathan Fillion. That's worth looking at as well. So there's a whole bunch of other things, from, you know, stuff to do with The Mandalorian, looking at the gadgets and stuff. There's a whole bunch of comic creator stuff. Really interesting. If you go to Comic Con International YouTube page, all the panels are up there. So you can go and find them on there. That's the best place to go and look for them. Amazon have some of their links to some of their panels on their site as well. So there's lots and lots of stuff to get through if you're interested in any of that stuff.
Fab.
That's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with renewals. We've got Burden of Truth has been renewed for a fourth season. Unfortunately, we still don't have a UK broadcaster for it since the disappearance of Universal Channel. So we still haven't had season three yet. I am hopeful that Sky Witness relent and decide to put it on, because they've put on some of the other Universal shows, but that one hasn't made it across yet.
So, and Resident, Dave.
Yes, and Resident. I know Resident is still missing, and Private Eyes is still missing. That's the other one as well. So those are the shows that are still missing. It's a Canadian show, Burden of Truth, and they have renewed it for a fourth season, so at least it's still going when it eventually hopefully gets picked up somewhere. HBO have renewed Perry Mason for a second season as well. That's another one I've watched one episode of. I struggled a little bit with the first episode of it.
Same here. So slow, wasn't it?
Yeah, it got interesting towards the end, but that first episode, I just dragged for me a lot. I want to like it a lot more than I did. And I feel I need to go and watch more of it, because I don't want to just judge it on the first episode. It may pick up further along. But yeah, they've renewed that for a second season, so that will be coming back. They've also renewed something that we kind of knew already, but Outer Banks, which is surprisingly brilliant Netflix series, which I've described in the past as being sort of the Goonies meets a CW show. It's a wonderful action adventure with a sort of coming of age thing thrown in. It's about this bunch of kids that are trying to find a treasure, but there's lots of great stuff in that show. I really enjoyed the first season of it. We kind of knew that it was probably coming back for a second season, because we've interviewed some of the people involved with it, and they were sort of saying, yeah, well, we'd be shooting if it wasn't for the virus right now. So we kind of knew that they were probably going to renew it, but they have officially confirmed this week that is going to be coming back for a second season. So I'm very happy about that. It's well worth watching. I mean, it is a teen drama, but it is well worth watching. It's a very, very well written one, and it's beautifully shot as well. And The Boys is going to be back for a third season before the second one has even arrived, which is out, I think, early September that arrives. They've announced that will be back for a third season, which I'm very, very happy about. They've also said it's getting an after show, because one of the things about season two and a couple of other shows actually on Amazon, they are not releasing everything at once. They're sort of doing what Apple did, and this seems to be the way they're starting to release new shows, dropping three episodes episodes at once and then releasing it weekly. So they're going to be doing that with The Boys. They've done it with, I can't remember what else it was, but there was something else they've decided to release that way as well. They're going to be dropping 3 episodes first and then going to be releasing it weekly. The advantage of that is it means they can now do an after show. So they are going to be putting that up as well. That actually starts the week before The Boys launches with a sort of retrospective of season 1. Then they'll drop 3 episodes and then there'll be after shows every week as the new episodes come out as well. So
interesting.
I'm quite happy about that. No cancellations this week, but we have got a bunch of advanced air dates. As I mentioned earlier on, they released a trailer for Utopia. It is coming in autumn 2020, that show. It's really interesting, that trailer. If you didn't know the Channel 4 show Utopia, it's a very kind of strange idea about this group of kids that are obsessed with this comic book. It's called Utopia, and things become rather strange where they bump into one of the characters who the comic book is seemingly based on. And it turns out that it might not be quite as fictional as they believe it was in the first place. And there is this weird mystery at the center of it. The sort of idea was the guy went slightly mad writing it. So the original Channel 4 drama was a really, really strange one. I'm very intrigued to see how it translates. They have added some characters in and altered the story slightly in this version. It's by Gillian Flynn, who was the writer of Gone Girl and Sharp Objects. So it's got a decent writer behind it, you know, somebody that knows what they're doing. I'm very, very interested to see how they handle it, but the trailer looks intriguing. It sounds like it's going to be different enough to the UK version that it's going to be kind of worth watching without you knowing exactly what's coming. Plus, the UK version didn't actually finish. It was cancelled after 2 seasons, I think, or maybe 3 seasons. So, I'm very interested to see where they go with this. It sounds like it could be quite good. It's got a good cast as well. You've got John Cusack in the cast and Corey Michael Smith from Gotham and a few other names as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I think that could be quite good. That's coming in the autumn, they've announced. They've begun filming on Death in Paradise for the 10th season as well. It's been announced on the BBC. We haven't got an actual date for that yet, but they are filming in, so it's quite possible it might hit its normal air date, which is around February usually. But they are filming again in, I think it's Guadeloupe they shoot in for that.
I was reading your article and quite an interesting set of cast changes. There's quite a few have changed, and so they're bringing back an old character, which I thought was quite interesting. I really do love the setup of that programme. It's quite a traditional whodunit and crime procedural, and it's very interesting. I'll be looking forward to that returning.
Yes, I don't really watch it, but yes, they have changed a few of the cast members. You've got a couple of older cast members leaving, they're bringing somebody back. You obviously had a lead change last season as well, so it's going to be the first full season with him in charge. It could be interesting, but that is back to filming, which is good news if you're a fan of that. And The Walking Dead, they've announced a whole bunch of things for that. Basically, if you like zombies, October is the month for you. In fact, there's a lot of horror stuff coming out towards the end of the year. Zombies invading in October, I mean, not in real life, although this is 2020, so who knows? Zombie invasion in the middle of 2020 would not be off the cards at this point, I don't think. lots of zombies on screen, at least, anyway, in October. You've got the finale, in air quotes, finale of season 10 of The Walking Dead. That is arriving October 5th. It airs on Fox UK, that turns up. So that will be an episode on its own. Although they have then announced that they've added 6 more episodes, which are going to air in 2021 to season 10, and then they'll go on to season 11. So although that is technically the finale and is what was supposed to be the finale, there are actually going to be 6 more episodes of that season afterwards. Just to confuse things.
Maybe they're going to reveal that the start of Walking Dead season 1 was actually 2020.
Yeah, maybe they are. That's going to be kind of interesting. I think they haven't sort of confirmed why they've done that, but the thing that makes sense to me would be if they aim to get those 6 episodes out in February, because if you watch The Walking Dead, you know it's split into 2 halves, and the first half starts in October, the second half always airs in February. And I think what they're they're trying to do is get six episodes together that they can put out in the traditional February slot, which is when the second half of the season would air. That then means that season 11 will start in October and you're not going to have like a huge gap before you get the next season. So I think that's probably why they're doing it, is to fill that February slot and make sure they've got them in there. So hopefully they can get back to filming those and, you know, they'll be out in time for February. I don't know that for a fact, but that's what makes most sense to me. So we'll see. Following that, you've then got The Walking Dead World Beyond. And if you're in America, that's all on AMC. Because this is the UK, that's going to be on Amazon Prime. So yeah, you can kind of go and watch The Walking Dead finale. I would advise you watch the finale before you go on to World Beyond, because that's how they're designed to watch. And I have this sneaking suspicion there is something in The Walking Dead season 10 finale which will tie directly into The Walking Dead World Beyond. So I would wait until the evening of that Monday and then go on to watch World Beyond, which is also dropping on Monday the 5th of October on Amazon Prime. So although it'd be available beforehand, I would actually wait and make sure that you you watch the finale first. I'm looking forward to that. World Beyond does look interesting as a series. It's a sort of teen-led spin-off. They have put a trailer up for that as well. I'm really interested to see that show. It does have a much more teen coming-of-age vibe to it, which is really interesting to see in the Walking Dead universe, because it feels a little lighter than some of the others, certainly from the trailer they put out. So I'm very intrigued to see how that works. I mean, we won't know until it comes out, but 5th of October for those two. Then Fear the Walking Dead, which is the other show that airs on AMC, or premieres on AMC over here and in the US. So that will be going out on the Monday, the 12th of October, so a week later. That premieres on AMC UK. It will then appear on Amazon Prime a few months afterwards. We don't know exactly when that will land. Fear the Walking Dead season 5 has only just landed on Amazon Prime UK this week. It lands on Wednesday. So there is quite a gap between it airing on AMC UK and it airing on Amazon Prime, but nothing we can do about that, unfortunately. So yeah, it's kind of annoying that they're all in different places, but it's not overly impossible. They are all airing next day in most cases, and they're not like directly crossing over. So it's not like an issue that we had with Arrowverse. It's not that sort of thing. They are a connected universe, but they don't directly connect with each other. So you find the fact that they're on different channels. I am looking forward to those coming back though. Moving on, but sticking with Amazon, they have announced that they've picked up an adaptation of Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chang's Paper Girls graphic novel, which we actually talked about this last year. Some time ago, I think July last year, so almost a year ago. If you're unfamiliar with the book, it tells the story of four 12-year-old newspaper delivery girls who, in the early hours of Halloween in 1998, uncover the most important story of all time. When the town is struck by an invasion from mysterious force from the future, the girls soon find themselves unwittingly caught in a conflict between two warring factions of time travelers. As they travel between our present and the past and the future, they encounter future versions of the cells and must now choose to embrace, reject their fate. I have read the book for this. It's really good fun and it's a bit wacky and kind of out there, and I rather enjoy it though. I get the impression this may have a kind of Stranger Things vibe to it, given that it's set in the 80s or late 80s.
The moment you read that out in my head, I was like, oh, this is Stranger Things, maybe told from a girl's point of view. But the time travel makes it that different. It will be different away from Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's got quite a good writer behind it. It's Stephanie Folsom, who is the co-writer of Toy Story 4. She's obviously kind of knows what she's doing. She's going to be showrunner alongside the guys that were writers and creators and showrunners of Halt and Catch Fire for Amazon as well. It's Legendary Television, who produced some pretty good dramas, and Brad Pitt's Plan B, who made things like 12 Years a Slave and Moonlight. They're the production companies behind it. So, yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting one. But they've officially green that, lit that. It is going to be a series. I think that's going to be one to look out for. Don't know when it'll land yet. Obviously, nobody's shooting anything right now. So it's going to be at least 2021 before we see anything. It could even be 2022 before that drops. So I'll have to wait and see. Moving back to UK stuff, BritBox has commissioned 4 exclusive original dramas. And I know a lot of people in the UK probably don't have BritBox, because why would you in most cases?
I know that. I talked to Matt about this. Why?
I mean, one of the problems they have had with the service that they've got is it's like, well, half of the content on there is stuff that you can get off the BBC iPlayer and ITV Hub. So why would you be paying for it? So really, to be able to sell it properly in the UK, they need original shows on there. They have got the Spitting Image series coming. We know that's coming, which might draw some people in. They have now commissioned 4 new original dramas as well. And they have gone quite out to pick some really interesting things. They've got one called The Beast Must Die, which is an original British 5-part revenge thriller. Tells the story of a grieving mother who infiltrates the life of the man she believed killed her son. Stars Kush Jumbo, who was in The Good Wife, The Good Fight and Deadwater Fell. Billy Howell, who was in Mother, Father, Son. Nathaniel Parker, who was on The Outcast and Vanity Fair. It's based on a novel by Nicholas Blake. It also looks like it's going to have Jared Harris from Chernobyl, The Crown, Mad Men and a whole bunch of other things in it. Join the cast as well. I don't think he's properly signed on yet, but it sounds like that he's going to be joining the cast for it. It's directed by the person that directed Tolkien, the movie. I think that sounds like it could be kind of an interesting idea, and it certainly seems to have a solid group of people behind it.
I just think randomly it'll be made available on one of the other channels. I bet they don't do themselves a good service. They'll put it on there for a limited time, I imagine, and then it'll get a broadcast. There just seems to be like a weird marketing with BritBox, doesn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know is the thing at the moment. I mean, they are saying that these are going to be exclusive to BritBox. If they stay on BritBox for X amount of time and then get sold onto like ITV or BBC, that sort of kind of defeats the purpose of it, but we'll see. They've also pulled quite a big name. They've got Irving Welsh from Trainspotting fame. He is adapting his own book, Crime, into a new TV series as well. It's his first TV drama. He's doing it alongside his long-standing screenwriting partner, Dean Kavanagh. It's set in Edinburgh. It's directed by James Strong, who was the person behind Liar and Broadchurch. It stars Dougray Scott from, currently starring in Batwoman, but, you know, Mission Impossible 2 and a whole bunch of other things, as Detective Inspector Ray Lennox, who is investigating the disappearance of a schoolgirl while battling his own personal demons. It's produced by Buccaneer Media, Tony Wood and Dougray Scott, so he's involved behind the camera as well. Evan Welsh is exec producing in it as well. And I don't know the book at all, so I don't know the story particularly well, but the fact that it's Evan Welsh and he's the guy behind Trainspotting, I think really that's got to be deserved a watch, I would have thought. And then we have Magpie Murders as well. This is adapted from the best-selling author of Alex Rider and Foyle's War, Anthony Horowitz. It's described as a beguiling murder mystery with a solution that's both astonish and shock viewers. The plot revolves around the character of Susan Ryland, an editor who's given an unfinished manuscript of author Alan Conway's latest novel, but has little idea that will change her life. I mean, it's Anthony Horowitz, who is a solid writer. Mm-hmm. I think he's actually adapting it himself as well. So yeah, and that's called Magpie Murders. Again, they've gone for another really high-end, high-profile guy to do these adaptations. They're really not pulling punches when it comes to this. Spy Amongst Friends is the last one. This is based on real events and follows the defection of notorious British intelligence officer and KGB double agent Kim Philby through the lens of his complex relationship with MI6 colleague and close friend Nicholas Elliott. The drama examines the espionage through their friendship, the fallout of which affects the East-West relations to this day. So it's not a story I know, but it's based on Ben McEntire's book of the same name. It's from a former exec from Homeland, the TV series. It's got Nick Murphy, who directed Save Me in the Last Kingdom and Hot Zone, which is a great show, set to direct. There's not officially any casting attached, but it is believed that Damian Lewis from Billions is circling the role of Elliot, and Dominic West is looking at the role of Philby. So if they can land those two, I think out of all of them, that's the one that I'm most excited about, because I love those kind of crime thrillers. It's from one of the guys that was involved in Homeland. I adore both Dominic West and Damian Lewis. I think that could be really, really something special.
They all sound like they could be really good dramas. And I hope that it does do something for BritBox and gives them that audience they need, because again, a lot of money's being spent on them. So good actors, good writers, good production teams. So they sound potentially quite strong. Just maybe it'll find its niche in some of its own creations.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I really do. I mean, it's an odd one. When they said they were launching that in the UK, when they said they were launching BritBox, I think everybody went, huh? Why? So it's interesting, but we'll see. I mean, hopefully having some original content on there, if they're not tempted to sell them onto other things, hopefully. The other thing, of course, is it depends whether they are going to have exclusivity deals, because none of those are made directly by the BBC or ITV studios, by the looks of things. They're all made by external companies, which usually means that they're only exclusive for a limited time. So you are probably right. They probably will end up getting sold onto other places. So we'll have to wait and see. But it could be one that's worth turning on BritBox for a little bit, just to be able to watch some of those when they get released. No release dates for any of those yet. They've just announced that they're doing them. Interesting one dropped today as well. Netflix have ordered another live-action spin-off series based on The Witcher called The Witcher Blood Origin. It comes from Declan DeBrava and Lauren Schmidt-Hissrich. Lauren is the exec producer and showrunner on the main Witcher show. Declan is somebody who was a writer on The Witcher and also wrote quite a lot of the originals as well. They're doing this new, it's a limited series, it's only 6 episodes, and the idea is that it's going to tell the origins of The Witcher. So it's set in an elven world 1200 years before The Witcher, and will tell the story lost to time, the origins of the very first Witcher, and the events that lead to a pivotal conjunction of the spheres where the world of monsters, men and elves merge to become one. So that's the idea behind it. I think this is really interesting, because they've announced out off the bat, yes, it's a spin-off, but it's just a 6 episode limited series. It tells a little bit of the story from another part of the world. The original author of The Witcher is heavily involved in it as a creative consultant as well. So it's not them kind of taking the idea of The Witcher and running off with it on their own. He is involved with it. He is helping craft the world. He sort of said that he's excited. The world of The Witcher, as planned from the very beginning, is expanding. I hope this will bring more fans to the world of my books. I'm sure he does. I'm quite intrigued by this. Did you watch the Witcher TV series?
No, it never really appealed to me. And I actually saw this news drop today as well, and I was a bit like, oh, that. So it's obviously got a good following and a good audience, but yeah, it's not really my cup of tea. So. Right.
I really, really enjoyed that first series. It's a little confused in places, and we've spoken about this before. One of the biggest problems is it jumps around in time a lot and gives you no either visual or even text idea of which part of the time period you're in. So with the main series, you'll be watching one scene and then the next scene will have a character that died one episode ago and you're like, okay, so we're in a different type, you know. But usually you'd have some sort of visual reference, like they'd change the colour filter on it, or you'd have, you know, something that says previously, or you get some sort of, but there's none of that. It just kind of merges all together, which makes it a bit more confusing than it possibly needed to be. But in terms of what they did, I thought it was a really, really solid story. And I think they realized that that was a mistake, because they released a timeline online afterwards to kind of show where everything connected together. So I think they realized that might have been a little bit of a hiccup and they needed to point that a bit more. So, and there was a reason for doing it, which I'm not going to explain, but it should have resolved that going into the next season. There shouldn't be quite as much messing around with time in the next season. Certainly this limited series, I doubt, will have that problem. But it's called The Witcher Blood Origin, and it's 6 episodes. It's a one-off. I rather like this idea of doing these little satellite things, though, of sort of, if you want to fill out some of the history, it's like doing a kind of little short story that's attached to a main novel.
The creative ways of storytelling, it's a new ways of the creators finding audiences to access their programs. I quite like it.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing that a little bit with The Walking Dead, like The Walking Dead World Beyond. When they announced The Walking Dead World Beyond fairly quickly afterwards, they said it will be 2 seasons and that's it. So they're doing the same sort of thing with that, in that they are planning other spin-offs, but they're time limiting how long those spin-offs will be. So it will be a self-contained story, and it's to tell a specific thing. And then that can get weaved back into something else, or it can spawn something else. You know, so I quite like how they're playing with this format a bit on TV shows now, which is something the books and stuff have always done, and comic books and things. It is actually a very much a comic book type thing of doing like little one-shots or spin-offs or big spin-offs. So, you know, it's much more of a sort of comic book thing of, you might have like a little limited thing that ties into a bigger story. So I like the fact that they're doing this with the TV shows. I think that's really interesting. And lastly, speaking of The Walking Dead, this isn't actually Walking Dead related, but it involves a lot of the Walking Dead cast, and it involves Robert Kirkman, the man that invented The Walking Dead. He has a new animated series coming to Amazon called Invincible, which we've known about for a while. We knew that Steven Yeun, who played Glenn on Walking Dead, he's playing the lead in it. It follows the story of Mark Grayson. He is a teenager whose father just so happens to be the most powerful superhero on Earth, called Omni-Man. He's going to be played by J.K. Simmons. Shortly after his 17th birthday, Mark begins to develop powers of his own and enters into his father's tutelage, only to discover that Omni-Man's legacy might not be quite as heroic as it seems. I like the setup for the story. It is a little bit The Boys by the sounds of it. We did talk about this a little bit last week, I think. They have announced a whole bunch of more cast, and most of them are the Walking Dead cast. So you've got Corey Payton in there, who plays Ezekiel. He's playing a character called Black Samson. Lauren Cohen is in there. She's playing a character called War Woman. Sonequa Martin-Green is playing Green Ghost. Chad Coleman, who's also a Walking Dead cast member, he's playing Martian Man. Michael Kolditz, he's playing Red Rush. Lenny James is in there playing Darkwing. Ross McQuand, who, if you've ever seen any videos of Ross McQuand, you know how much of a brilliant mimic and voice artist he is. He's actually voicing 2 characters, the Immortal and Aquarius. They're all members of a group called the Guardians of the Globe, who are the world's premier superhero team. So I like the fact that they've kept all of them together as well. That's one thing. So they've added all those people in. They join people like Zazie Beetz, who was Domino in Deadpool, who plays Mark Grayson, the Invincible's girlfriend. Andrew Reynolds, who is from Girls, he plays Mark's best friend. You've got Walter Goggins from Justified, who voices government liaison Cecil Stedman. Mark Hamill is in there as the superhero Taylor Art. You've got Gillian Jacobs from Community, who plays Atom Eve. Jacob Mazukas from Big Mouth, who voices Rexplode. And lastly, Seth Rogen from, well, being Seth Rogen more than anything else, Alan the Alien, he voices. So I love the cast for this. I think it's fantastic. I really like the setup. It's going to be an animated thing. They haven't given an exact date, although we are expecting it to come out later this year. But yeah, we did talk a bit about that last week. But I like the fact that he's just turned around to the Walking Dead cast and going, hey, do you want to be in the other show as well?
And it's an impressive voice cast, even the extra people that aren't from The Walking Dead. That's an impressive voice cast.
Yeah, and I rather like that he sort of kept his Walking Dead family together, because a lot of those, a couple of them are still involved on Walking Dead shows. A lot of them are people that have left. Lauren Cohen kind of left and came back. Sunita Martin-Green's no longer on there. Michael Cudlitz is no longer on there. Steven's not on there. Chad's not on there. So, you know, it's a group of people that were sort of previously involved quite a lot in. But I love the fact that he's bringing them all back together for this. And I think it sounds like it could be a really fun show. So, like I say, don't know exactly when that's going to land, although I believe it's going to be later in the year. But yeah, definitely one to look out for, I think. And that's called Invincible. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Next, we'll move on to the highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. More Walking Dead stuff. Fear the Walking Dead, as I mentioned earlier. That is coming to Amazon Prime on the 29th of July for season 5. So that's the season that previously gone out on AMC. It's now coming to Amazon Prime. Coroner season 2 of that comes to Sky Witness on the 29th of July at 9 p.m. That was one of the ex-Universal shows which managed to escape and make it over. Yes, I do hope they bring some of the others across. Muppets Now, which is coming to Disney Plus on the 31st of July. I'm far more excited about this than I possibly should be.
What do you watch first on that night, Muppets or The Umbrella Academy? It's such a tough choice.
I know. I may go and watch an episode of Muppets just to go and see. But that is also the date, 31st of July. Netflix have got Umbrella Academy season 2, which I will be binging my way through because I adored the first season of that so much. That is going to be one to look out for. Bull season 4, that finally lands on Fox UK. They announced they dropped it and then they picked it back up again. That's on the 3rd of August at 9 p.m. that arrives. And then Superstore arrives for the second half of season 5. That's on the 4th of August at 8 p.m. that is landing for the rest of that season, although it was one of those affected by the pandemic, so I think the last episode is missing, which is slightly awkward because America Ferrera was supposed to leave in that episode and then they couldn't shoot it because of the pandemic, so she's got to come back afterwards. Although she is heavily pregnant, although she might have had the baby by the time they come back to filming it, because we were making jokes about the fact she'll probably have to stand behind boxes, lots of shots of her kind of saying her goodbyes behind, you know, from behind a sort of tall shelf or something. Yeah, so we've got that. And then Little Birds, one of the many, many shows out now that's got little in the title. So Little Birds season 1, that is coming to Sky Atlantic on the 4th of August. This is set in Tangiers in 1955 in the famous International Zone, one of the last outposts of colonial decadence and a culture shock in more ways than one for troubled American debutante Lucy Savage, played by Juno Temple. Could be quite interesting. That coming to Sky Atlantic on the 4th of August. So yes, lots to get into this week. There is some new stuff coming back then.
Superstore, Muppets, Umbrella Academy. I'm still watching Coroner season 1, so I'm hoping that'll just lead into season 2 by the time I finished it. Yeah. It's quite a good array of programs, even though I thought it was supposed to be quietening down.
There are still things coming out. The thing that amazed me with the October announcements is the amount of horror related shows that are coming out in sort of September, October is ridiculous. It's certainly in the US, I mean, less so over here at the moment, but I mean, you've got all the Walking Dead shows. There's the Marvel series Hellstrom, which is due out on Hulu in the US. There's a whole bunch of other things. I've just put a post up, which is all the TV trailers from Comic-Con at home. So you can go and find them all in one place. If you go onto the website and look for that, you'll see all the trailers at once. So that's everything we have got for this week. Where can people find you if they want to get in touch?
If they want to get in touch, go over to Grey the Geek and Twitter. Mainly I'll be talking about my consumer issues, but I sometimes do put stuff on there about TV and film that I'm watching as well.
Good. And for other people involved on the podcast, you can of course go and find Bex over on Twitch at twitch.com/TristaBytes or twitch.tv/TristaBytes, who is streaming pretty much daily and various evenings, so go and check her out. Her content is hilariously funny, sometimes unintentionally, but it's usually very entertaining to watch. You've also got Matt over at entertainmenttalk.org, who's got lots and lots of podcasts going out over there, and we have some new stuff coming up with him fairly soon. For us, you can visit geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. There is a lot of trailers from Comic-Con up there as well. You can go and watch those. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post and find us at Geektown on Twitter or on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, or on Instagram at geektownuk. That's it for us for this week. Everybody stay safe. If you're going out, make sure you wear a mask, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.